Good morning and welcome. If you're like me, you have probably began to notice that we are starting to enter into a busy time of year. This weekend, here at our parish, we have our bake sale taking place, just in time for the Thanksgiving holiday. Many of us are probably still working on finishing up last-minute plans for Thanksgiving. Then, of course, with Thanksgiving fast approaching, so too is the start of the holiday shopping season for many retailers, where there will be an endless array of sales being promoted at some of the craziest hours of the day. Then, there are also many of us who are trying our very best to get our schedules all in order for the next few weeks, so that we can attend a variety of Christmas plays and concerts that our children are involved in at their schools. I'm certain that some of us may feel like we have too many activities to try and accomplish over these next few weeks before Christmas. Then liturgically, for our church, this time period can also be viewed as a busy time of year. After all, this weekend marks the end of our current liturgical year. Next Sunday, we begin upon a new liturgical year, with the beginning of the season of Advent, which, by the way, contrary to all the activity taking place around us in this world, the season of Advent is intended to be a time for us to quietly and peacefully prepare our homes and especially our hearts for the birth of our Messiah. However, in light of all that may be occurring within our busy schedules, on this final weekend of our liturgical calendar, we celebrate a very special feast, a feast that in many ways I believe that the Church provides to us as an opportunity for us to pause for a moment and to reflect upon our relationship with our Lord and Savior, a moment in time for us to examine just how well we have been living our lives in response to the one who surrendered his life for our salvation. This weekend, we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, or as it is officially known as, the Solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. This feast was established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI in his encyclica titled Quas Primus. In this encyclica, Pope Pius XI actually laments upon a particular tragedy that he sees taking place in the world. He refers to this tragedy as being a type of plague that is infecting society in the form of leading mankind to reject God. He sees this happening on both the individual level, by the way people are living their lives, as well as on a national level, by the manner in which various governments are developing laws and policies designed to push God aside and at times forcing people to live lives contrary to the will of God. The establishment of this Feast of Christ the King was in many ways Pope Pius XI's attempt at preventing the ongoing advancement of this form of atheism. It was Pope Pius XI's desire that by establishing this new feast, he would be providing us with an annual feast that would recall to our minds the clear fact of who will judge us at the end of time. In light of this judgment that we will all eventually face, Pope Pius XI encourages us by his encyclical Quas Primus to live our lives in such a way that we place Jesus at the center of our hearts, to live in such a way that our wills are conformed to the will of Jesus. Ultimately, we should be living our lives in such a way that we become like Christ to all those whom we encounter, as well as to seek to do our very best to see Jesus in the hearts of others and to treat them as we would treat Christ himself. By living our lives in this manner, then we can help others to come to know Jesus by the lives we live. In a certain respects, it sounds to me as if Pope Pius XI is speaking of a type of evangelization that is carried out by us living our lives as reflections of Christ. In many ways, this is not a new idea. Rather, it is one that has been around for a very long time. In fact, St. Francis of Assisi, who died in 1226, is oftentimes quoted as having said, "Preach the gospel always, and only if necessary, use words." For St. Francis, the gospel is to be preached and proclaimed by the manner in which we live our lives. This, in many ways, serves as the foundation for the establishment of this feast that we celebrate this weekend, to serve as an annual reminder of how we should be living our lives. The Feast of Christ the King was originally celebrated on the last Sunday of October, up until 1969, when Pope Paul VI transferred this feast to its current place on the final Sunday of our liturgical year. He had done this so as to give this feast a greater eschatological theme or meaning. Now that's a big word, and don't be afraid if you don't quite understand that word. It's not one that we use quite often. As a matter of fact, a professor of mine once said that it's not the kind of thing you hear discussed at the office Christmas party. And personally, I've tried. It's not something that can be worked into a conversation. It is a term that is used in reference to the end times. That time in which we await the final judgment of the world to take place. When, in accordance to our gospel proclaimed today, Jesus will return in all his glory to judge all the nations of the world. He describes this final judgment as being similar to a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats at the end of the day. This analogy probably didn't sit too well for those Jews who may have heard Jesus' description of the final judgment. There were many Jews who firmly believed that the final judgment of the world would occur in the form of the world being divided along the lines of Jews and non-Jews. So this example of separating the world like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats was probably a little difficult for some of them to accept and to truly understand. For myself, as many of you know, I originally grew up in the Northeast. By all accounts, I view myself as being a typical city kid. So this example of separating sheep from goats, it's a little foreign to me. So I decided to do a little research into it to see if there was maybe some significance of this that could be applied to our gospel today. What I came across was a variety of reasons for separating sheep from goats at the end of the day. But what stuck out to me and was of most interest to me was this one description of how sheep prefer to be in a herd. So they tend to stay close to one another for warmth. Therefore, they can be left outside at night because they will work together for the good of one another. Also, I had read where the male sheep are rather protective of their mates and of their young. Now, on the other hand, it appears that goats are not the biggest fans of being kept close to one another. Therefore, they need to be placed in a barn at night for warmth. Also, it appears that the male goats aren't always the most loyal to their mates. They're not always too quick to protect their mates or their young ones. To me, it began to sound like the sheep have a healthy perspective on what it means to live life as a part of something greater than themselves. It sounds to me like they serve as good examples to us of what it means for us to be a part of the mystical body of Christ, which we are all members of. For just like the sheep, it is a good thing for us to work together for the well-being of Christ's mystical body. Also, sheep uphold a sense of loyalty towards protecting the weaker members of the herd. So too should we then be loyal to Jesus by protecting the weaker members of his mystical body from falling into error and of wandering away from Jesus. As I had mentioned before, Jesus describes the final judgment as taking place in the manner of Jesus separating the world into two groups. And I believe it is safe to say that one group consists of those who have lived their lives in adherence to the will of God, and the other group consists of those who live their lives separated from God. What exactly does it mean for us to live our lives in accordance to the will of God? In our gospel today, Jesus reveals it as doing acts of charity to the least of God's people. Now, the word charity can also at times be defined as love, since the two words share the same root word. So, the ones who by their actions reveal God's love to the world around them, these are the ones who will be counted amongst the righteous and be blessed by God the Father. In summary, Pope Pius XI, he intended to establish the Feast of Christ the King as an annual reminder to us of who we will ultimately answer to when our time on earth has ended. He encourages us to celebrate this feast by recommitting ourselves to living lives that reflect Christ to all those we encounter. Pope Paul VI, in changing the date of this feast, gave us a greater insight into the importance of living a life that is centered on Christ. Because all of us, whether we like it or not, will come to experience an eschatological moment when our time on earth draws to an end and we are judged by our Lord and King. In today's gospel, Jesus reveals to us that at the end of time, when we are judged by our Lord, he will judge us not based on how much money we've made, not based on where we lived or the houses we have. He will judge us on the lives that we have lived as examples of Christ's love towards all of God's children. Therefore, in our celebration of this feast of Christ the King, let us also spend some time reflecting on how well we have revealed God's love throughout this past year. And for those times that we realize that we have failed to reveal God's love to others, then let us have the courage and humility to ask Jesus for his help so that we may do a better job in the new year ahead. That way, when our time has come to experience our own final judgment, may we find ourselves grouped amongst the righteous and be found worthy of receiving God's gift of eternal life with him in his kingdom.